Well, thanks to David, I can actually start jump right into the problem and give a, can basically skip the introduction. I would like to discuss the latest results for hydrogen and compare with the chemical models, and I would like to then go over to the high-density regime, where well, I will say a little bit about the supposedly plasma phase transition. And this is sort of the phase diagram, which you are probably familiar with. It is density versus temperature. And what we know is that we have a molecular fluid, the low density and low temperature regime, and then we have an atomic fluid, and then there's a plasma regime. And then we have at high density, eventually it will go to a metallic state. And we can explore this regime with our path and go simulations. There's no serious bound at high temperature. Path or short, efficiency is high. Low density, eventually we think that the chemical models work very well and there's no need to do first principle simulations. And what I will show soon is basically a comparison with the chemical model, our recent simulations, that are mainly in this left half of this area. If we go to higher densities, eventually the method, the electron gas degenerate, the nodes are very important, and therefore the efficiency goes down. David mentioned we can probably go to 1/10 of the Fermi temperature. This determines this line around here. In the right half of the diagram, nodes will be important, and that's also important for the comparison with the shockwave experiment. Showing the same diagram a little bit blown up, now just showing you the area of the simulations. Here we have the RS values, and here we have density. I think there's deuterium density. And we can use the cluster analysis to identify these three regimes. And I will basically start off discussing the regime here on the left, where the nodes are basically not important, and therefore we essentially have a method that is not limited by uncontrolled approximations. So we recently submitted a paper that basically discusses this regime on the left. And the comparison we can make, now I would like to convince you that we have an accurate scheme to determine the internal energy and the pressure, and therefore we have to compare with the established methods, chemical picture basically by Soumong and Chabrier, also by the ECTEX, the activity expansion by Forrest Rogers, and also with the fluid variational theory by Hauke Juranek and Ronald Redmer. And first of all, if I go to a density as low as RS of 10, and I just look at the internal energy, I have a molecular fluid in this regime, and basically these are the red points are the Pfaffenhoffer result, and I find a very good agreement between all the established methods. The differences are very small, and also the error bars are relatively small. The error bars I was showing is basically the statistical error. And for the energy, we can control this relatively well, and we get good results. At low temperature, we'll expect to have a fully molecular fluid, and then we find some thermal excitations, and eventually we find dissociation in this regime, and also ionization. All this is described by the chemical models, except for the fluid variational theory that will go to doesn't include the ionization. Therefore, we find some differences in this regime. And this is like a test. At low density, we think we can determine it very well, and we would like to shake hands with the established chemical models. And now I go to a higher temperature. I wanted to do this for RS as 10 as well, but I realized too late it's actually 2.6. But it's from the point I want to make, it's basically the same. We find in the energy some sizable differences to the Soumong and Chabrier equation of state. That's basically in the high temperature limit, there is the energies are consistently lower, and there's an intermediate regime where the energies are higher. Or the PIMC results are lower. And they are way out of the finite size effects and about the time step error. We check these things. The finite size effect that we have is probably 0.2 EVs per atom, and the finite size effects, they increase with lowering temperature, and they go up to about 10%. So all the errors I discuss here are way outside approximations. And the nodes, as I told you earlier, are not important. So we asked them, and they said, well, probably the degree of ionization is too low in the high temperature limit. You mean D2 disappears? I will come back to this in a second. So we can also look at the energy as a function of density and look at three different temperatures. So at low temperature, where it's fully molecular, on this scale you hardly see any difference. Then you go into this atomic regime, and then the PMC results are a bit lower, but also the backtex is much better. Go to the plasma regime, and you find some to discuss differences. So I think we'd like to establish this as a test that we can calculate in energies or the equation of state reasonably accurate. And the point is, the chemical models sometimes have some fit parameters that can be included, and also have some artistic kind of freedom. And I would like to, if there is no a priori parameter, we would like to suggest to use the Pfaffenhoffer result to determine those free options that we might have. Coming to the pressure, the calculations are more challenging because we calculated from the theorem, given by above, and if you go to a low density, low temperature regime, you have a large cancellation. Basically, you have a hydrogen atom or hydrogen molecule. This is exactly zero. You have a large kinetic term, the negative term, and you get zero, and the pressure should be zero for an isolated atom. This makes it challenging for our calculations because we still have these huge terms in there, and we have to have a pretty good density matrix and a pretty good well-converged result to get a good equation of state. In the high temperature limit, that is fine. There's no real problem because simulations are very fast. If you go to lower and lower temperatures, up to 5,000 degrees, the error bar increases. So for the moment, we have about a 25% error. In the pressure, we now compare with Zhumong and Charpentier, and again with the fluid variational theory, and find good agreement. First of all, let me say that we start off with the plasma regime where everything looks like almost like an ideal Fermi gas, and then we go in the direction of a molecular gas. And if the density is low enough, we get reasonably close to those limits.
Quick question. When you speak of an ideal molecular gas, are you thinking of the free energy contributions from translation, vibration, rotation, and so forth?
I left those out because I can put these analytical models, I can put those in, and I probably end up eventually with a very elaborate chemical scheme. I just want to put something as simple as possible that people can put these graphs into retrospect to something else. When I told you that the pressure is more sensitive to the energy because we calculated from the Wöhler theorem, this is also true for the nodal approximation. And now I'm moving over in this phase diagram I showed you earlier where I discuss now, go to the highest density that we discussed in this one publication. And what we find is at RS of 4, we still have agreement between the two types of nodal surfaces that we use. However, if you go to RS of 2.6, we see a deviation here, and we see that the variational loads predict a lower pressure, and it actually agrees better with Zhumong and Charpentier. So this is sort of everything below, for higher, lower densities than 2.6, we think that the method actually doesn't have the nodal problem, and it's basically the accuracy is determined by the controlled approximations that we make. Well, you asked about the chemical composition. So I used the cluster analysis David described, and I compare now with the other models that have this built in. What I find is if I look at the fraction of protons built in molecules, it starts off around 90 or 95% at 5,000 Kelvin. This is for RS of 10, so I have a small sort of entropy dissociation. It's not got just right at 100%. It drops quickly. Within, let's say, if I'm at 15,000, it's already very, very low. And at the same time, the degree of ionization goes up quickly. And our analysis is basically depends on parameters we put in. There's a certain freedom we can do. However, if we choose as we have, we still see that we predict a higher degree of ionization, which is in agreement what we said about the internal energy and pressure. Yeah, let me say a little bit about how we determine these variational nodes, because I now would like to shift gears and tell you about the differences between the two nodes that we have. And the procedure basically is in close analogy to zero temperature methods. There are sort of like class one methods that try to determine the ground state energy, and one writes it as a Slater determinant of single particle orbitals, and they can be determined by any method like Hartree-Fock or LDA or improved methods. And then one goes to step two and includes a JAS term, which basically takes care of correlation effects that are not included here. And in step three, that is what David introduced, is a zero temperature method, and this includes all the correlations, but it needs a nodal surface. And therefore, one usually goes back to step one and takes the nodes from step one. So we would like to do the same thing. We would like to establish a variational density matrix, because we, rather than the ground state, we now have a thermal density matrix, and this density matrix, what we will use, is variational. It can be improved by using a JAS term, and at step three, we have restricted path like on Monte Carlo, and again, we need nodes. So we go back to step one, where we have an essential analytical density matrix, and calculate the nodes. So how do we get the variational parameters in this density matrix? I do not want to go into details. I just want to say that we make an ansatz for the density matrix that contains a bunch of parameters that carry the dependence on r prime and imaginary time, and we have to solve coupled differential equations following this variational principle that basically determines the parameters in such a way that we find that they solve the Bloch equation above. And we use Gaussians, but now they have a variational freedom of a mean position, a squared width, and an amplitude. And this includes, of course, the free particle limit. So David already showed you a graph that the variational nodes are more appropriate because they lead to the smaller free energy. And if I now look at the phase diagram and we do the same kind of analysis to describe those states, we find that the formally labeled metallic fluid state, where we have the full dissociation of molecules, is strongly reduced. So we basically find that the variational nodes reduce this metallic fluid state. Also, we find that this line doesn't seem to show up anymore. So basically, what one formally interpreted was that when one studied the thermodynamic properties, one find that one goes from this plasma regime into a degenerate plasma, and then one would go back into a molecular regime. And this line was interpreted as indication for a rapid change of thermodynamic properties within small region of density. And this is sort of the same region where Soumong and Chatrier predicted their first order phase transition. However, if I use the variational nodes, all the rapid changes disappeared. And in this, how do you interpret this? First of all, we can say for sure, in this regime, the thermodynamic properties we calculated from path models do strongly depend on the nodes. However, if the phase transition or this rapid change has shifted to lower temperature, which we can't explore, or if it has disappeared, we can't really conclude from what we know right now.
If the system were to remain in a fluid state at relatively low temperatures, what pressure would you assign to that transition?
You mean which transition? Here? Zero temperature? Well, the problem is that it changes along here. This is probably about one. No, because we at 5,000, and then we basically we found it up to 5,000. But this is for free particle nodes. Let me make sure. My main contribution to this method is to establish variational nodes that don't have this feature. So that's what I wanted to say about that. Just let me show you a diagram where we walk along a constant density and go down in temperature, and we just look at this transition here. And if you walk down in temperature and you look at the G of R, for example, then you find one starts out at this plasma state. So this is the G of R. Here are the temperatures, and I start up at a high temperature, and I compare results from the free particle nodes that are the solid lines, and variational nodes have these dashed lines. So what we have find is that at high temperature they agree because nodes are not important there. And then if you follow the solid line, eventually the system becomes more degenerate and then until it switches its state and goes to this molecular regime again. And we look at the variational nodes that basically they don't have this sharp switching behavior. They have a smooth transition to a state that almost looks, has some molecular signature.
What does the electron kinetic energy look like?
The electron kinetic energy, you can indirectly get from the right graph, which basically shows how the that is a cycle distribution. So if you just look at the left, at this left point here, it tells you how many electrons do not permute and are therefore localized. What you find is that for the variational, for the free particle nodes, most of them are permuting. So this point is very low. All of them are in long cycles. They're delocalized, and therefore the energy is, the kinetic energy is lower. If I have localized nodes and you localize the wave function, essentially you pay a price for this in kinetic energy. But it's basically coupled with the potential part, therefore there's no strong conclusion. So yeah, I think this actually concludes my talk. So I wanted to summarize that we have two sets of nodes, and in the region where we have this rapid change, it depends on these nodes we use, and in the low density regime we don't. We can also do other things like calculating the off-diagonal density matrix, but we didn't have time to talk about it. So you find the publications at this webpage. Thank you very much.
Questions for David and me?
For someone that knows about those calculations, how are you sure that you're using the right nodes now?
Well, we can only compare. The node is basically an uncontrolled approximation. So there's never a parameter you can make sure that you get to the, that you can have a convergence. We can only compare. And we know where the nodes are not important. So that,
in a mathematical sense, but there's also physical intuition that can be used, right? I mean, so now we have a node that knows about molecules, about bound states and so forth, and one might think that that would be a much more appropriate description. There's also a lot of experience at zero temperature with lots of molecules and different systems and so forth. So one has, you know, some idea, but down in this region of the phase transition, we're not claiming that our results won't change again if we improve things. I mean, this is where things are sensitive, right? They could be much more sensitive. I mean, it's sort of like, if it just simply moves TC, there'll be some region where things look very different just because TC is moving. That we might have the two phases okay, it's just shifting the transition temperature density also. I mean, I think that's part of what's going on in that.
We should probably claim that the variational we have, we can run a fully variational calculation. I didn't show any results from this. This is a description of hydrogen. So before we had free particles, actually, we can just use this variational method to describe hydrogen reasonably well. So that's the big improvement. But if you ask me if we have the truth here, then we can't give you a good answer.
What's about sort of What about comparison to the experiments, the Lithuanian data?
We had this big difference here, and there the notes were this much. So the notes was this little difference, and the experiments were over here.
You can show the influence of the variation also in this liquid level phase.
Yeah.
Is there also a shift of this line between the atomic and molecular phase?
No, the other side nodes are not important. I tried to make that point. So that won't change.
Can you put your simulation on the faster response 1.6?
You mean the picture?
Yes, the picture.
Okay.
Since there are some white clouds.
No, the white clouds are just simply the density, yes. There's electron density.
So do you interpret this colliding white clouds as things abiding, molecular-like species given this high density?
No, it's not molecular, no. It's basically you have charges here. First of all, let me say, it's a pretty difficult job to visualize it. So you only see these white clouds on these planes here. So if you look at a dense plasma and you think of the electrons in the ground state, where do you expect them to go? I would say either if there's a bond, then they might have a short time when they're in the between, or they are among these isolated charges. So we would actually tentatively agree with the picture that was produced by the LDA results, that you have this dynamic breaking and forming of bonds. Yeah.
I don't know what parameters you have there.
We try the parameters that are obvious, like nodes, size effect, time step, and yeah, I think that's pretty much it. And there was no significant shift towards the experiment.
So you can't see anything.
We can't see anything, and we don't know what to do.
Bill, let's talk about the other experiment for a minute. What's the density we see in the ballast state? Can you calculate electrical conductivity of that state?
We haven't done that, but the yellow lines indicate those are delocalized electrons. But that doesn't lead to, you have to do more than that to get a number.
It should be close to the experiment.
No, I think, can I just say something about this picture since you asked? We think that, or at least I think that, even if you keep those protons fixed, you would have a high conductivity. You don't have to have the protons moving. So just, this is the point I wanted to get across here.
What's the probability of cutting that temperature in half in the near future?
Now, statistically, we can run them twice as long, but it will depend on the nodes, so, and the error bars get larger.
Yeah. Well, we have a problem that's similar to the diamond anvil people are here. I mean, mathematically, you might not think there would be much of a problem going from 6,000 to 3,000 degrees. It should just take quite as long. However, we observe a glassy state in a path interval, and we don't understand it. And so, like why can't they push hydrogen up to 3 megabars? We don't understand. Maybe something trivial we just haven't thought of.
But you're also being known to be.
I mean, our Monte Carlo is non-ergodic, and we don't understand it. It may have a simple solution, but there it is. I mean, things get below 10,000 degrees. Things get bad fast. In other words, right? In this density. And so that's why we invented this other method, which can go down there, which we have data for, but is putting the electrons at zero temperature.
which may not be too bad at 3,000 degrees, but that's okay. That's one solution. Well, we have a project ongoing.
Yeah.
Although the project, I should say, has only gotten down to 30,000 degrees at the moment. Calculating the chemical potential of the helium in the hydrogen plasma. And we have to do some more work to get down to lower temperatures. But actually, in a way, it may be easier just to do helium-hydrogen mixtures.
Yeah, there's actually no reason why we couldn't do it.
I mean, the kind of reasons are the time scale. When you put in the Z equals 2, it makes it, the time step has to be 4 times as high as Z squared. Right? So, you know, there are some complications you have to worry about.
Well, if I could ask a question, could you show the slide you had of the pair distribution function, either with the node corrected or the node uncorrected?
Yeah, let's see. Yeah.
Do you want my color for the tableau or the black light?
Yeah, I think we have this one here.
The question is this. I think you mentioned that providing the temperature gets reasonably high enough in this sequence of densities here, the protons are pretty classical.
Yeah.
Okay. Now, and I suspect, given the nature of those plots, it's also good translation in invariant fluid. So, if that's so, you can say that, given the standard interpretation of G of R, right, you have, as you go up there, a state-dependent, and I emphasize that, effective pair interaction controlling that distribution of protons. Now, in the theory of classical liquids, as it currently is today, there are very, very accurate ways of going from a G of R to a pair potential.
Yeah.
And in this case, it would have to be an effective one because there's not many body stuff.
Yeah.
And it would seem, just by looking at that by eye, that it's changing character dramatically to go up in density. So I guess my question is, have you thought about doing these, it's called the classical inverse problem, given the G of R looks by
eye. Familiar. Of course, you're making the ansatz that there is a pair potential, right?
I said effective.
Effective pair potential, yeah. Not an effective through body potential, for example, right?
Yeah. All that many body stuff gets buried into the state dependence.
It might be probably straightforward to do that, given all the G of R, is to produce all the effective potentials. We've never done that.
I think it changes state because you have a molecular binding at low temperature and you have a plasma at high. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Just for an isolated molecule, the effective pair potential is like a Morse potential, right?
Mm-hmm.
So how do you handle that in the mini-body? What, the potential would have a strong trap and then a kind of a barrier and then else?
Yeah, what we're actually finding, and this is consistent with something that Martin was saying, that it's going to be awesome and we'll fix the bipolar and so on. Most of these clients, it becomes a moment, then there's a big shift where that the depth of the rotation is very much reflected in the study. But because molecular exchanges begin to get comparable, and then the whole depth shifts over.
But, you know, the interpretation of this, I'm not sure I buy into the picture really. The interpretation of this is not that it's softening, but that half the time it's in a bound state and half the time it's in a plasma state, I think.
Yeah.
It's like a mixture of things. I mean, you just, in G of R, you can't separate that out, right? So
you can't separate it out, but you can ask the question, if you were trying to describe a biochem potential system where all this high body stuff is built in into the effective potential, then that is giving an effective heritage of changing its character.
Right.
Any other questions? Well, I don't know, but you definitely decide on the areas. You need a combination of states.
Okay.